This is the story of a billionaire who made Aliyah and seems to spend most of his time trying to promote Israel. Sylvan Adams has sponsored space exploration projects and brought global superstars to perform in his country. But for the past month, it's been all about his cycling team. Is cycling an effective way to promote Israel? This is the Jewish News Podcast. I'm Michael Daventry. It was a vast crowd loudly cheering the name of Israel. That alone made this a rare spectacle. A few weeks ago, I was standing in the very centre of Denmark's capital watching a celebration ahead of the Grand Départ, the launch event of this year's Tour de France.
From Israel, we now present Israel Premier Tech. In New Jersey today, as a part of a project helping children in Rwanda to start cycling. And here we will meet the four-time winner of the Tour de France, Chris Froome. The team also includes the Dane Jakob Fuglsang, who finished third in the Tour de Suisse this year.
On stage were the members of Israel Premier Tech, the elite road cycling team that was preparing to compete in the sport's biggest race for the third time.
Please give a warm welcome to Israel Premier Tech.
It's hard really not to be impressed by all of this. Crowds have crammed into this park in central Copenhagen. It's so full that people are climbing on benches, up trees, on top of bins. Anyway, to get a look at this stage called the Tivoli stage in the center of this park here in the Danish capital. And Team Israel got an incredible cheer. Not least, I suspect, because a local favourite is on the team.
That local favourite was the Danish rider Jakob Fuglsang. Alongside him was a name more familiar to British audiences, even those who aren't cycling fans, Chris Froome. We'll hear from him a little later on. But let's get back briefly to that launch event in the Tivoli Gardens in central Copenhagen, and the announcement of Israel's name. Israel is one of the most immediately recognisable countries in the world, but the conflict with the Palestinians means that recognition is very often not positive. That was why it wasn't surprising that even before this presentation event, there was an anti-Israel protest staged by pro-Palestinian groups, with plenty of banners and chanting. But what about during the presentation of the Tour de France launch event itself?
I've got to say, I did try to listen out when the Israel team came on stage to hear if any of those localised protests would materialise within the crowd. This isn't scientific. They could have been on the other side, but I have to say, I didn't hear anything. There was just universal love and adoration for the Israel Premier Tech team, not least because of the two big stars that were able to present themselves on stage today.
Now, Chris Froome is the cyclist most recognisable to British audiences because he's been in the top three at the Tour de France on six separate occasions. Four of those occasions, he placed in first place. But then came a major accident. A high-speed crash into a wall while training left him in hospital, and it left his career in the balance until the Israel team came knocking and gave him a guaranteed place in the team to recover and to see out the rest of his career.
That crash in 2019 really just reset everything for me. I mean, breaking my leg in two places, breaking my elbow, having a perforated lung, broken sternum, fractured ribs, fracture on the cervical as well in the neck. It was a big crash to come back from, and being part of Israel Premier Tech, I guess, it's allowed me that chance. And having also a secured place on the team until I hang things up, that's allowed me really to focus on my rehabilitation instead of trying to rush back into trying to be race ready prematurely. It's really allowed me to do the correct rehabilitation processes and really address all the all the issues that I had to be able to get back to this level of race.
And we'll talk a little later on about how well the Israel team performed. Before that, though, we should dwell on the man who owns the team, Sylvan Adams. He's a billionaire whose family made its fortune in property developments and investments. Sylvan's father was a Romanian-born Holocaust survivor who moved to Canada after enduring years of hard labour in Nazi camps. Sylvan himself made Aliyah in 2015 and has made it his mission, seemingly, to promote Israel on the world stage at every opportunity. It was he who brought Argentina and its superstar striker Lionel Messi to Israel to face Uruguay in a friendly match. He has invested heavily in the Israeli space program SpaceIL's attempts to reach the moon. He's also arranged this.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Queen herself.
So Sylvan Adams clearly believes his cycling team is another way to get the name of Israel out there. When I met him in a rather noisy hotel bar in Copenhagen, I asked him why.
You know, I moved to Israel and I decided I'm going to make a difference. And I saw this deficiency. You know, there are people who defend our case, who make the historical and political case for Israel. And I can do so. I'm able to do so. But what was not, the people we weren't reaching was that silent majority. They're not interested in politics. They're not interested in polemics and in being given a history lesson or a lesson in international politics and diplomacy. They're not interested in these things. They're interested in cycling, football, and cricket, and tennis, and music.
You get the picture. Sylvan Adams says once you take out the politics, there's a positive image of Israel out there to be seen. So Israel Premier Tech, as the team is known today, has been around for nearly a decade. When it was founded, its members cycled under the Israeli flag, but its name was Cycling Academy. The team's founder, Ron Baron, says this is because the race organisers would not accept a team with the name Israel on it.
We started as a continental team, together with Peter Sagan, who became world champion later. He helped us, he endorsed us. We couldn't even use the name Israel initially because we didn't get any races with the name Israel. They were a bit anti-Semitic in the beginning in Eastern Europe. Not anymore. And we don't have to be only in Eastern Europe. But it was the first ever team from Israel. In the first year or two, we called it Cycling Academy. It was with the Israeli flag and everything, but we didn't even call it Israel. We were a few some races. Yes, we were. There is still anti-Semitism in Europe. I don't want to overplay it because seriously, when we did the Giro d'Italy, the Tour de France, even now, when I came in yesterday, there was a small demonstration boycott Israel. But it's very marginal.
3 years ago, this team reached the sport's top tier by attaining World Tour status, meaning its cyclists could compete in the biggest races like the Tour de France. It has signed on the likes of Chris Froome, as we've heard. But as I arrived in Copenhagen earlier this month, sporting success had been modest for the team. Team members had won individual stages in Italy and in Spain, but not in the French race. And before even the race began, calamity. Omer Goldstein, one of the four Israeli cyclists on the team, was ruled out.
So it's only been a couple of hours, really, since the Israel team arrived here in Copenhagen, and already we've had a bit of drama. There's been lots of mutterings going on in the team, but I've just now had a press release from the media people here. It says the Israeli rider Omer Goldstein, who was scheduled to jump the next day to open the Tour de France, was forced to give up his place in the Tour after being exposed to a verified corona patient during a flight on his way to the Tour in Copenhagen. And it goes on to say, to quote him, saying, "It hurts a lot. I believed I was going to give an unforgettable performance in this Tour de France. This is a hard disappointment for me, and I find it hard to believe it is happening to me." It just goes to show, I guess, how much the coronavirus can affect sport at this level. We're in a hotel, we're bubbling, we're all wearing masks, we're having daily COVID tests, and the Omicron variant is frightening for these athletes, even though when it comes to regular day-to-day life, everything's proceeding as normal. There isn't a mask to be seen. it feels like we've gone back to those days of lockdown.
So things weren't necessarily looking up. This year's Tour de France came to an end last weekend with its traditional finish into Paris and the Champs-Élysées. But how well did Israel Premier Tech do? Well, the team's organisers' objective was to win one of the 21 stages. They didn't win one. Riders from Israel Premier Tech won two. First, it was the Australian cyclist Simon Clark, who won by a literal whisker.
Simon Clark grits his teeth. Taco van der Hoorn right on the wheel. Clark, an experienced rider, the last signature on the thing. And oh! Who got it?
Simon Clark was the man who got it on a photo finish.
Then came his Canadian teammate, Hugo Hull.
4 hours, 23 minutes. And the memory of Hugo Hull's brother, Perrick, has driven him to a stage win in the Tour de France. He points to the sky in memory. Hugo Hull of Canada wins for his brother, Perrick.
Hull dedicated his win to his brother, Pierrick, who was killed by a drunk driver a decade ago while out running. So, mission accomplished. The Israeli team won more than what it declared it wanted before the race began. More success could undoubtedly follow in later years, but for organisers, there's an objective that comes outside the track. You heard from Sylvain Adams and Ron Baron. Both men are among the main backers for a vast infrastructure project in Rwanda that they say will create a racing track and cycling academy in the southern African country, and the team has used every moment of publicity during the Tour de France to plug it. They call it the Field of Dreams, and it is, they say, a project that exudes Jewish values. Even Chris Froome, who represents Britain but was born and raised in Kenya, used the term Tikkun Olam, or heal the world, unprompted when he spoke to me about it.
The phrase is Tikkun Olam or something?
Tikkun Olam.
Making the world a better place, or improving the world. I buy into that. That rings true to me. I think having grown up in Africa and seeing firsthand that how difficult it is for an African growing up in Africa to be able to break out of that system and even contemplate becoming a professional cyclist or getting into cycling themselves, it's not easy. It's not easy out there. Infrastructure. There isn't the infrastructure to support it. There isn't the equipment, the funding. It's an uphill battle all the way, in so many respects. So having that support that's needed isn't coming from a government level in a lot of countries in Africa, Kenya specifically. And it's thanks to these private projects like building the Field of Dreams in Rwanda that would give cycling a chance to flourish in Africa. Because what's always sort of irked me growing up in Africa, I used to do cross-country running, and in Kenya I couldn't keep up with the Kenyans. They were even at a teenage sort of schoolboy level, I was nowhere. Yet I've come on to win 7 Grand Tours in my career. So it leaves me with that question of what could those guys achieve if they were given the support and the infrastructure to actually properly harness cycling as a sport there. And I think the answer we'll probably see in the next 10 years with more of these projects.
Adams and Barron both say they will match every penny in any currency that is donated to the project. A €300,000 fundraiser was launched online earlier this month. But what's next for cycling in Israel? Sylvain Adams was instrumental in bringing another major race, the Giro d'Italia, to Israel in 2018. For 3 days, cyclists zipped across the country, around Jerusalem, and then in stages from Haifa and Tel Aviv to Beersheba and Eilat, before the race transferred to the Italian mainland. Froome was the overall winner then, albeit for another team. Surely the ambition now is to follow Copenhagen's example and arrange for a Tour de France Grand Départ in Israel. Here's Sylvain Adams again.
The answer is the invitation has been given. And I bug them frequently about this.
And as you can probably hear, we were speaking in a fairly noisy hotel reception, so the next part of what he said won't be entirely clear if I play it out to you. So let me summarise it. He told me the success of Giro d'Italia in Israel hadn't exactly encouraged the French. He said, of course the Tour saw that success, but at the same time they're thinking to themselves in their French Tour de France dominant mentality, well, we can't copy and do the same thing the Giro did. Believe me, Sylvain told me, I have this from the source. I'm not telling tales out of school. I know that this is the way they think. So will we get them? I hope so, he says. That's it from this edition of the Jewish News Podcast. My thanks go to my guests and to the Israel Premier Tech team for allowing me to spend a few days behind the scenes with them. Thanks also to you for listening. Please subscribe to this podcast in your podcast app if you haven't done it already. It helps us to know you're out there listening to us, and it means you won't miss another episode. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can find Jewish News all over social media, but if you'd like to drop us an email, it's editorial@jewishnews.co.uk. Until next time, from me, Michael Daventry, goodbye.